Gracious and all goodness, Lord, may your words from old become living words for the living of our lives today. Amen. Well, good morning again. Glad you're here on this journey of Lent. Some of you have not been with us, and so just briefly to let you know that we've been talking about aids that help us in this journey. You know, you never take off without packing your bag and hopefully not leaving essentials behind, as sometimes happens. So, to do this journey of Lent, it's important to pack right. And so, we started off with a bookmark that you can carry with you. We all need to read more. And in case you weren't here and haven't received this aid for your journey, there are additional ones in the back when you leave. It says on here a sort of a mantra for our journey in Lent. Be kinder than necessary. Be kinder than necessary. And Philip has given you some interesting background information in the bulletin this morning about where that comes from. We also, in order to remind us of the bookmark, some of us tied little bows around our fingers. Remember that? And the bows around our fingers were to remind us of the bookmark. You know, oftentimes you have to have a series of reminders to get you back to where you're supposed to be. And so, that was one of them. Well, I have made my reminders a little more high-tech. And so I'll share with you something that occurs to me every time the phone rings. You know technology. Well, hey, you didn't do that earlier, did you? Philip, you know all this technology. Well, I'll tell you what, you know it's in there, and so, no, I don't need you. He is the tech genius, but, you know, he'll figure it out, but we'll get beyond that easily enough. I'll let you know that I have a ringtone, and the ringtone says, every time the phone rings for me, it says, give me one more shot. I'll give it all I've got. And then it says, give me one more chance. Let me dance the dance. And every time the phone rings and I hear that, it puts me immediately in touch with the task that God has before me. To give it one more shot is like the gardener was pleading for. To put a little more manure around our shoes. To give us a greater opportunity to focus in on what it is that God has in store for us that day. Well, one day, as clergy are called to do, I was sitting in the office in the morning and the telephone rang, and it was Shirley. Shirley was married to Bob, and they had a son by the name of Will, and I always called him Wayward Will. And it was a struggle for Bob and Shirley to raise Will. And in his teenage years, it got worse and worse. He started running with the wrong group of kids. He started getting more and more deeply involved with drugs. He started not coming home at night. And things got bad and worse, and he had to drop out of high school. And he suddenly was taking up with a young lady who herself was struggling. Some might call her a streetwalker. But in any event, she and Will became pregnant. And so, as Will at least had some remembrance of his former life, he suggested that they get married. And so, Bob and Shirley made the arrangements, and they got married. And after the reception, Will disappeared. Nobody knew where he went. But at least his young lady had a name to give to her child, and Bob and Shirley could focus on trying to help her get her life back together. Well, several years passed, and of course, as those of you who are parents know, your heart, when it's broken like that, it doesn't go away. You still carry that pain, as Shirley and Bob did. And so it was when she called. She entered the office, and her eyes were all swollen from crying, and she said, "We've done everything disappointed is because Will called. And he called to announce to his parents that he had joined the army. And he was assigned to a tank battalion in Germany. And so now he had a career, and mother and father's heart leapt for joy. And so they made arrangements. They pooled together their meager funds so that they get airplane tickets to fly to Frankfurt. And so they could meet with Will. And they only had enough money for 2 days. And so they got there the first day. The first day was glorious. Will showed them all around Frankfurt. You know, the wonderful atmosphere of Germany, for those of you who know and been there, those not, go. But it was glorious. It was a glorious day. And everybody was so happy to have dinner that night and went to bed. And the arrangement was the next day they would meet Will at the base. And Will could show them around. They went at the right time. No Will. They waited. Perhaps they had left the wrong location at the base. They searched around. They finally found Will's commanding officer. Will's commanding officer got some of the guys together and they searched the base, and Will was gone. He had gone AWOL. And everybody was terribly disappointed. And so Bob and Shirley got on the plane, flew home, and came in to see me the next day. Hearts broken. We've done everything we know to do. And I said, everything. Why are you here? You know, if you've done anything, why are you here? So we talked about that a little bit. Why did Shirley come to see me? Come to the house of the Lord. Come to hopefully expect a miracle? Some magic that I would suddenly produce Will and all would be well? Well, as we talked a little bit about this further, I asked her this question. I said, Shirley, are you ever going to stop loving Will? She said, of course not. And I said to her, well, then you haven't done everything that you need to do. How many of you all have ever taken a water life-saving course? Ooh, yeah. Well, if I get this wrong, you guys correct me afterwards. When I was a Boy Scout, in order to make my eagle, I had to get a life-saving merit badge. Those of you who don't know about this, I'll explain to you. Life-saving merit badge requires not only swimming skills, but it also requires learning both how to capture a struggling person in the water and pull them to safety, and also how not to be drowned. Two very important things. Well, it required, first of all, something that I wasn't adapted in. I grew up in Florida, and I was a swimmer, but I was an underwater swimmer. I wasn't an on-top-of-water swimmer. And I swam all day long under the water. That was before, you know, snorkels and all those kinds of things. But being on top of the water and learning strokes and all that, that was a real struggle for me. But it was a requirement for the life-saving. And so I did my very best. The second was to learn breaking loose so that if a drowning person grabs a hold of you, you can dislodge yourself so that the both of you don't drown, so that you can continue to be arrested. Well, you approach a person who's floundering in the water. What they want to do is to grab on you because you're going to hold them up. Wrong. You're floating in the water just like they are. And so what you do is you swim around the person, and you try to talk and ease and relax them. And finally, when they're so exhausted, they can't do anything else, that's when you move in, lock them out of the chin, and drag them to safety. But in order to rescue, you have to wait. You have to wait. The owner of the vineyard knew well the tree had produced. He knew well that it was going to require some time to turn this thing around. And so he gave permission to wait. In the journey of Lent, sometimes we think we've got to do things. You know, the book Mark says,
springs and whatnot. These are made, but you don't have to do anything with them except be reminded. Lent is a journey, but not a journey where you're actively moving from one place to another place. You're not on the road to Jerusalem, except emotionally, mentally, spiritually. But all the time that we have is time that we can learn to wait actively. You know, there's active listening. This is active waiting. And when you do that, I want you to pay a special attention to something our meditation leader shared with her group the other night. And unbeknownst to me, I found this out later. This is something that Mother Teresa said. Not the whole thing, but a part of it. She said, people are often unreasonable, often self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, and you may be accused then by other people of cultivating secretly some motive to make things go your way. Be kind anyway. Give the world the best you have. It may never be enough, but you give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it is between you and God. It was never, ever between you and them. Moving ourselves out of the equation is the task for the journey of Lent. And I think that this gospel parable of the fig tree, and also the kinds of ways that we make judgments about what happens to other people, this is the time where we are called into the relationship with God and out of the relationships between you and me. And that requires active waiting. And you swim around the problem as long as it's necessary. And you never stop loving, or else you wouldn't be in the water that you. And you swim calmly until there's a light moment when you move in as God moves you in order to make the rest. It's a journey. We're all on this journey. It's a wonderful journey. Thank you for journeying with us.